Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got street fights, we've got a crazy Kaiser on the loose, and we get a look back at just who is R-Truth. But before we get into all of that good stuff, let's chat to the fellas. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderis. And Jimmy, if I'm not mistaken, last Tuesday, I got to go see the LA Kings face your Maple Leafs in my first ever NHL game. It was a good one.
Ah, it was a good one. And
for you guys, it was a good one.
Not oh, okay. Sorry. No, we'll take it. Trust me, man, because, you know, it's a you know, this is hockey country. You know, hockey night in Canada is a staple up here.
You know, I was going to – something bothered me about the Maple Leafs, though, Jimmy. And I could have just Googled it and looked it up. But instead, I'm going to throw out what bothered me, and I want you to answer this question. If it's multiple Leafs, why is it spelled L-E-A-F-S instead of L-E-A-V-E-S?
That's been a long question. That's been a question since the beginning of the Maple Leafs. Let's put it that way. I never, you know, really got the answer to that. You know, there's a lot of people who could make up stories or whatever, and it was spelt wrong back in the day. They never changed it, whatever, blah, blah. There's got to be a good reason behind it. I wish I could tell you what it is. All I know is that when I was a kid in school and I had to spell Leafs, I never spelled leaves with a V, and I always got in trouble.
Jack, leave these poor Maple Leaf hockey fans alone. They're Canada's team, and they haven't won anything in decades. Leave them be. They got enough. Right. They got enough problems besides spelling and grammar.
You know, I go to this game, and I'm like, hey, this will be my chance to become like an LA Kings fan. I'll get into hockey. This will be great. And then they just scorched us on our own turf, Justin. It's very hard to become a fan, Justin, of a team for the first time, seeing them just get beat by the away team.
What did you think of the experience seeing a pro hockey game live? It's faster than you can ever believe.
Oh, it's actually super fun. I had a great time. I'll probably go see some more games if I get the chance. Growing up in the Seattle area of Tacoma specifically, we had a, I don't know what they call it in hockey, but it's like the AAA version of the NHL. It's like the minor league or whatever. We had the Tacoma Sabercats. I'd go see them regularly because those tickets were basically free and it was a fun time. But this was it was a really cool time. It was at Crypto. Crypto's a cool stadium in general. So it was definitely a fun time. I'm probably going to go back if I can for sure. Justin, how about you? Who's your hockey team? I assume you have a hockey team.
Washington Capitals. Yeah, Capitals.
Makes sense.
Been my entire life, and finally in 2018 got to experience our first ever Stanley Cup, which was a thrill.
Good for Justin, because the Leafs have been in the NHL since the beginning of time, basically, and I'm one of the few remaining people who were still alive the last time they won the Stanley Cup.
Lots of good stuff there. We got a lot of hockey fans in the chat, by the way. We got Killer Demon saying go Capital, go Capitals. We've got
he wasn't saying go Capitals
or the Capitals, sorry.
He's saying the Crapitals.
Oh, the Crapitals. I can't read, Justin. Then we got Reaper Brink saying let's go Red Wings.
Original Six. There you go.
Max Feldman saying Hockey Live is great. Definitely a fun one. Max Feldman, by the way, saying part of the original six. Tori saying go Flyers. Lots of very wide range of fans here.
I'll say this for the mainstream sports in the U.S. And I've had the awesome privilege of being working at a Super Bowl, and I've had the privilege of getting to go on the ice at a Stanley Cup for as part of the media. I've seen all the sports live. If I had unlimited money, the sport that I would first buy season tickets to would be hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think for the experience you get each time, plus it's like, all right, you got 40 something home games, so like that's reasonable to think like going to like, you know, half, if you want to go to half or a little bit more, like you know, football, you know, only eight, and you're dealing with whatever weather. You know, basketball, I hate the live experience of NBA basketball. It's just me. And then baseball, there's so many games. Mm-hmm. Hockey's the one I'd say. If you have a team, put your investment in. And even if you can't get close to the ice, sometimes being on the second level, you can see more happen. So get your hockey season tickets, folks.
Yeah, it's definitely, maybe it's because of my first one. Definitely a fun, fast-paced game. And I think something about it being three periods is fun. Like, mm-hmm. The setup is very fun. Like I said, I've never been to one before. If anyone hasn't been to a hockey game, I'd recommend checking them out.
It moves quicker than you think. When you see them up, you know, live and in living color, how fast these guys are actually moving and how hard they hit, too.
Speaking of hits, it was fun watching the fights. Of course, like everyone, I'm like, yeah. Once the Kings were down by like two goals and we were like halfway through the third period, I was like, time to just start fighting people. Like, yeah, no, just start taking people out. You got to get like four guys on your team that are just all they do is fight. Just maybe I watched too much Mighty Ducks as a kid.
Go back and watch the old Philadelphia Flyers when they were known as the Broad Street Bullies.
That's that. I'll have to go check them out. But we got some wrestling to talk about today. Yeah. And again, if you're here with us in the chat, thanks so much for joining us. If you're lurking, that's cool too. But like, comment, share, subscribe, as we always like to say. Backstage news on the original plans for Roman Reigns' opponent at the Royal Rumble this year were revealed, or at least talked about. Of course, Royal Rumble, it's going to be Reigns versus Knight versus Styles versus Orton for the title. That wasn't always the case, though. Meltzer said the actual deal here is that the original idea was Roman and Randy Orton for the Rumble, and essentially, there were parties involved who did not want to beat Randy Orton this early, obviously, and just felt that there's money to be made with Randy Orton and Roman in a program at some point, but it's too soon to do it. Justin, anytime I hear backstage news, I'm always like, maybe, I don't know. But if this is the case, I got to agree with WWE. I think that having Orton take a loss at this point would be a bad idea. And I think this is the right move.
Well, it's the right move to hopefully avoid that happening. If Randy Orton is not going to be winning the title at Rumble, then yeah, avoid having him be the one that takes the pin. The other thing this does, though, is by adding LA Knight specifically, is if he's in the world title match on the card, aside from the 30-man Rumble, then that gives you easy justification for why he's not going to appear in the 30-man Rumble. That's normally how it works. If you have a title match, you don't also appear as one of the 30. And so by keeping him out of one of the 30, you avoid any chance of the audience at all hijacking, you know, because he still has that effect. I mean, it's not quite Daniel Bryan here in Pittsburgh in 2014 when they booed Rey Mysterio when Rey came out as 30, but you could see that. And obviously, this Rumble is going to be a big deal. Whether it's Punk, whomever, they're going to want the crowd and the story to be completely in sync. And you know, having LA Knight out there not to win it could throw a loop for things. So I think getting him in a world title match elsewhere on the night, it's kind of a safe bet.
Yeah, Adam Staples in the chat says, don't have an issue with the four-way, but just don't like the way they set it up. Adam, defend that statement. I enjoyed how it was set up. Mm. But Jimmy Corderas, Sev, yes, says, absolutely no need to feed Orton to Roman. What are your thoughts on this? I like what Justin just said, too, about how now we don't have to worry about LA Knight getting eliminated from the Rumble or Orton getting eliminated from the Rumble and having everyone getting disappointed.
Yeah. Now the only question is, in this four-way, who is the one that eats the pin, so to speak? You know what I mean? You can make a case for a lot of different things. You know, you want Roman Reigns going into whatever's next for him as the champion, since this is what they're leaning towards, a big WrestleMania match or one versus his cousin for the head of the table, so to speak. And there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of questions here, and they're making people, you know, I keep talking about this, and I'm going to talk about this later when we talk about the actual show that we saw tonight. Give people reasons to want to tune in. And this has given me a reason to want to tune in because, you know, it's easy to say, well, I can't see so-and-so winning, and I can't see so-and-so winning, and I can't see so. I want to see how they get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, like I said, I'm a big fan of how they're doing this. Sev adds, does the four-way equal more interference from the bloodline for Roman to keep his title? I think it's the opposite now. I mean, they'll probably be involved, but shenanigans could happen. Ethan Cruz predicting Roman's going to stack them all. I don't know if he'll get away with that this time around, but you never know. I didn't think he'd stack Edge and Daniel Bryan when it happened. Of course, Dark Money Zone says Orton versus Rhodes is bigger than Roman beating Orton. I can see that. Why choose? Do both. And Ethan Cruz with the best comment of the night says, liked, comment, shared, and subscribed. Unsubscribed to subscribe again. Thank you very much. As always, appreciated. Lots of interesting stuff there. Let's get into the show. Let's talk about WWE Raw. Started off, Drew McIntyre, who just does not have the time to let commentary run through the card tonight. He's out here, and he says that he's about to leave WWE, but he has to blame everyone else first. He blames CM Punk, and out Punk comes, and he says, say it to my face. And so Drew says, okay, I will. He said CM Punk was a locker room leader who was all about himself, so Drew learned to lead himself. Punk says Drew followed him walking out, and CM Punk followed Drew walking back in. They trade a few barbs to each other before CM Punk leaves, and they both say they're going to eliminate each other from the Rumble. Justin, obviously your thoughts on this segment, but I also want to make the comment, everything we're talking about with the Royal Rumble, is it even possible for WWE to get this wrong? I mean, obviously it's possible, anything could happen, but like with all the options, I mean, it feels like it'd be very hard for them to completely whiff on this this year, right?
Yeah, never make that challenge, Jack. But no, I thought, first off, I thought the exchange was a very real feeling exchange. I felt like, you know, you could just feel what they were saying. And I'm sure that they were, you know, going to the line and exaggerating a little bit or whatever, whatever the case was, whatever it was, it felt like, wow, I can feel this. And so good on them in the exchange. It was a little bit longer of an exchange or a little bit longer of a segment as a whole, but I don't feel like it dragged. I feel like it was really compelling. And this is good because, look, you know, Punk and Seth are who Punk's linked to since his return. But as long as Seth remains champ, Punk's not getting to Seth until he earns his way via Rumble, via Chamber, what have you. That's just what we assume. So you need Punk to have other things to do on the shorter term. So by having somebody like Drew, and I wouldn't be mad if they have one more before Rumble, one more person call out Punk. So now you have certain people kind of headhunting Punk and Punk headhunting them inside of the Rumble match. So it's compelling inside of there versus just like this predetermined, well, Punk's the only one that's talking smack to Seth, so clearly it's going to be Punk who wins. So I like this.
Yeah, I also love that Drew does have that, Jimmy, that kind of vibe of you're not going to push him around. Like, it doesn't even matter if you're good on the microphone. Sorry, Punk, you're just not going to push around a Drew McIntyre. Stephen Camp even goes so far as to say this was Drew's best promo in a very long time. And a lot of people kind of felt the same way. Max Feldman saying CM Punk promo was straight fire. I want to get your thoughts on this, of course. But also, I want you to kind of talk to me a little bit about how with Punk, one of the things I think that makes him stand out on the microphone is he is just so believable in everything he says. You know, I don't know if he just does, but yeah, like when he talks about like, I'm not the devil, I'm Satan himself and all this other stuff. You're just like, this guy believes it.
No, but that's the whole thing. And that you hit it the nail right on the head. If you want to draw people in, you want to get people invested. You don't want them to go, oh, that was a hell of a wrestling promo. You know, you want them to go, wow, I'm believing what this guy's saying. And, you know, there is, it felt like there was a lot of truth into what Drew was spitting out there. And if Punk is coming back, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's being too nice, but, you know, happy to be back and stuff like that. But the line he threw, like you said, you know, that he's the devil himself and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You went, oh my goodness, I could see it.
Yeah.
And now, that's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? Not that you want to see the
right. Now, Jimmy, I want to double back to you here because we've talked about things like this in other places, a lot of references to things that are happening off air around here, things that are happening. You talk about, you know, leaving, talk about the locker room, talking about who said what. Are we getting a little too into the weeds of people who need to know stuff that's not happening on camera, or is this okay?
I think it's okay because you got a lot of people thinking they know what's going on. So feed into that. Let them think it. And for those who aren't reading, so to speak, what these headlines are online, let them go, oh, there seems to be some tension backstage and they're bringing it out front, which they don't, you know, which used to be forbidden back in the day. You never... You spilled your garbage outside, you know, what goes on backstage stays backstage. Mm-hmm. Now it seems to be getting out there. So why not feed into it and try and draw some interest from it?
Well, and also two other points real quick. One, they're going to make money off of it. They've now just added something to the Rumble match of Drew and Punk being in it. And if Punk eventually gets to Seth Rollins, we're adding... You know, we're adding juice to it. And two, and this is they're both equally important for two different reasons. One is for business. One is for controlling your clubhouse. If Drew truly had a moment where he texted or called up CM Punk a decade ago and was pissed at him, or if Seth and Punk really have had some kind of behind the scenes confrontation, we all don't actually know about it. We only know what they're saying during a pro wrestling promo compared to what happened in AEW over the last 2 years. Something happened and there's multiple accounts and then there's NDAs being signed. And then there's the prelude to it that happened on a press conference live to everybody. So it wasn't even like you could like lie and spin the whole thing. I mean, they could have attempted to and try to get money out of it, but here they're just taking the reputation that Punk has that he's self-destructive and that he's going to cause problems. They're taking that. And for all we know, Drew McIntyre just made up some big story. I needed a leader a decade ago. That might not have been true at all, but they're just making up a story and it's easy to believe because of the Punk's reputation. Right. That's a big difference than having real shit go down and one, having to deal with it internally and calling everybody down and two, making any money off of it and getting anything in the ring.
Very good points. I just like to bring this up because I read the YouTube comments. I just want to make sure we're covering our bases here. Dark Money Zone says, Punk and Drew is a shoot, draw money, making story for Mania match. I mean, I agree. I think this is going to be good. Also, I like that they're kind of leaning into some of those rumors that Drew might be on the way out. Why not lean into it? Right. Who cares? Fun. I think it's fun. I know what's going on. I don't care if other people don't. I'm having a good time. We move on and we get to Finn Balor versus Tommaso Ciampa, and Ciampa cuts a promo on the way to the ring. And after a back and forth matchup, Priest tries to help Balor, but Gargano cuts him off and helps Ciampa get the win, allowing Ciampa to get the win. And it seems here, Jimmy, that the story is DIY are trying to earn a title shot the hard way by getting lots of wins.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like that they're doing that. But the interesting thing is, like you said, the finish where Johnny Gargano assisted Tommaso Ciampa in getting the win, that finish had heel written all over it. It was a heel type finish where, you know, Johnny tripped Finn into the roll up for the victory and that sort of thing. It was kind of like, you know, you guys want to cheat, take that back. You know, here's some of your own medicine, so to speak. And it felt right in this instance. And I think the crowd appreciated it. And I like the story being told here. Look, we want your championships. We're going to earn them any way we can get it.
I always say, to your point, Jimmy, that Gargano's the king of the plucky underdog. So I feel like when he does it, it's cheeky. It's like, it's okay that he does it, because it's like it's Gargano. But Justin, I was worried about you during this match, because I know DIY, they're one of your groups, and I know that Judgment Day, particularly Damian Priest, your guys, is everything okay in the LaBar household watching these two go at it, these two teams?
We're all eating at separate TV trays. No uniting at the dinner table. I don't know. I kind of have mixed thoughts about this. You know, yeah, I mean, to the plucky underdog point, but it is kind of, I mean, it is a weird finish for these two white meat baby faces to do. I understand that they're kind of like fighting fire with fire, because Judgment Day tries to use their number game. So I'm a little iffy there. I like there being an opening to get DIY Ciampa, specifically a victory. But then I go to Judgment Day, and Judgment Day right now is just, I know we'll talk about some of the funny stuff later. Judgment Day to me is just so torn in half. Of on the top end, we have some of the most legitimate pay attention ass kicking, and then the other half of Judgment Day, it's turning into like not just comedy, but like lack of, I don't know, starting to feel like lack of credibility. So This whole match and segment, I was very 50-50 on, depending on which minute you asked me to give my opinion.
I think that's well said, because I do agree with you on what's going on with Judgment Day. It definitely feels like there's a lot of stuff that feels credible and a lot of stuff that feels very not credible. And it's unlike the NWO, which had a lot of, I think we compared them last week.
Yeah.
The NWO was big enough that if you had five guys who were goofs, there was a big enough separation between the top guys, where this is a very small group. And so if you have a couple of them not looking credible, the whole group kind of suffers. But Jimmy, you had a point.
No, it's just something that Justin said that clicked with me, but you know, it'll come up later when we talk about a certain champion who I see the same thing that Justin is talking about with, as far as, you know, the right time to have that seriousness and separate that comedy aspect from, you know, the legit serious toughness. I don't know if
What it feels like, it feels like there's a date on the calendar that's been circled for, we know by this date we can let Judgment Day officially disband, or whatever the big riff's going to be, because Priest and the Money in the Bank, or Rhea in a face turn, or whatever. It feels like we have a date, and so now they're kind of like, we're kind of stalling time. It's starting to it's feeling like to me.
Yeah, MDB999 says Judgment Day is becoming a little convoluted, which I think is a good way to phrase it. And Jeff Bailey was something that I thought was really cool. Love the promo walking to the ring again this week. Something different in a promo presentation. Justin, what were your thoughts on that? I loved it too.
Yeah, I'm all for any type of different representation of anything. They started Raw off, Cody walking backstage, just anything to mix it up. You're not reinventing the TV wheel. All they were doing is showing Cody walking backstage. We see them do backstage walks all the time. It was just commentary, open it up, showing you a babyface who's in the main event. And then promos to the ring. Yeah, just anything that just breaks it out of the norm. Because when you have a 3-hour show and they format a certain way anyways because of the commercial break, so we get the entrance number one, break, backstage, all, you know, there's already certain things that are going to be done that are redundant that we don't like anyways that they're going to do. So anything else that they can do that they have control of that can spice it up, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I agree. We move on. We get to Becky Lynch. A quick promo that basically says she's pulling herself up by her bootstraps, focusing on the Rumble, and maybe things aren't over between her and Nia Jax. Jimmy, probably not a whole lot to take from this, but any thoughts?
No, just her keep. I think it was more just to keep her visible to the audience and let them know that, despite, you know, taking the little bit of the knock net last week and that sort of thing, you know, she's still a viable contender for that Royal Rumble. And again, putting the Royal Rumble's match importance on the women's Royal Rumble match was the main thing here.
Yeah. Justin, any takeaways?
Jimmy said it all.
So we move on to Kofi Kingston versus Ludwig Kaiser. Two athletic guys. Good match. Ends with Kaiser forcing a double count out. Kofi upset, attacks Kaiser post. Look, okay, I'll be honest. Once the count out happened, I was kind of like, that's kind of lame. But then this post-match happens, and I mean, I am fired up for this. Justin, you're applauding. Let me know your thoughts. Just talk about this.
Well, yeah, it's a match that maybe last week they did not even have on paper to be this week. But it's a natural follow-up given what really happened. They show you with Vinci and the head injury. So follow up on it here, right? Mm-hmm. First off, my busted open colleague, the Hall of Famer that is Bully Ray, he had a great tweet that I completely agree with it. He said, I like the count out finish. It reminds you of the credibility of the rules and that can happen. And I completely agree. If you don't have any rules, there's no rules for the heel to break. And so how do you have a heel or a babyface? I like the finish, but then as you said, Jack, post-match, the heat that Kaiser got, you know, I said this before over the recent weeks, but I felt it even more with the crowd really booing and the way the officials are trying to rip him off of Kofi, and then he runs around again and slams, you know, Kofi's head into the steps. Tonight, more than ever, Kaiser felt like he could be a standalone. That he is not just another member of Imperium. Now, I know there's still business to be done with he and Vinci when Vinci gets healthy, or I know that there's something maybe with them and Gunther, whatever, but Kaiser has really carved out everything from his chiseled, insane body that he keeps to the way he walks and talks and struts, and he's just so arrogant and so above everybody, but then he's in the ring, he's so sound, and the facial expressions, I mean, he has carved out a real spot for him. He is... As good old Jim Ross would say, he has maximized his TV minutes.
And I mean, in the chat, everyone. I mean, earlier tonight, Jeff Bailey said tonight was a breakout for Ludwig. Trell, Baby Ice said Ludwig is a beast. Then Jeff Bailey also said Ludwig came out a major heel tonight and a standout. And Trell said, "I will remember Kaiser's name after tonight." Jimmy, this was, if I was younger, I feel like Kaiser would be one of my absolute favorites right now in every way. And I echo everything Justin said. He was already one of the guys I really liked, but this to me, yes, he's that guy singles. I want you to talk about Kaiser and Kofi for the work he did. Obviously, it wouldn't have worked if he didn't do this against someone like Kofi. But also, Vinci will be out of action for a number of weeks.
Right.
I'd like for you to talk about, having been in the locker rooms, a wrestler's mindset when they know, a tag team wrestler's mindset when they know they've got a couple weeks to be a singles wrestler.
That's their opportunity to shine and show what they have. And again, going back to this double countout finish, and I know a lot of people out there were like, oh, come on, man. That was so... He got more heat after that match doing what he did than any other way he could have won that match and defeated Kofi. It doesn't matter how he would have cheated, how he would have manipulated the referee, diverted him, used a foreign object, blah, blah, blah. That wouldn't have worked. But what happened afterwards, that heat he generated, just unmatched, unmatchable in a 1-2-3 or knockout victory, whatever you want to call it.
And to Jimmy's point, if they would have had this match, let's say Kaiser would have squashed Kofi, just straight out squashed him, then nobody would care to see the match again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kofi, the lovable babyface that is Kofi, the future Hall of Famer that is Kofi, now everybody has so much sympathy on Kofi. There's heat on Kaiser. We want to see this again. And then you got Rumble coming around the corner here. Kofi's always known for the Rumble due to his creative, how does he avoid elimination spot? Kaiser's just worked himself right into the center, front and center of that scene.
And and adds another story to that Rumble match, like we did earlier with the Drew and Punk and all that stuff. Another story for that Rumble.
Yeah, I left it. I mean, like everyone has been saying, Ludwig has been one of those guys I think we've all known could be that guy, but obviously he was in a group. He's in a group. He's got kind of a position. Yeah, watching this and the way he did it too. It's not just he beat up Kofi, but the way he executed, like digging the thumb into the eyes and the way he backed away, like after the security had him back away and then running and kicking him into the steel steps, holding his head up when he was on the just certain things that visually, like you can see that in the highlight package when they have their rematch. You can see these things getting played over and over again. And showing that he's vicious. He's not just that good-looking guy that wants to hit on Maxime Dupri, but he's a vicious and mean dude. And I got a feeling this is going to be a big moment in this young man's career. He's also young too. He's like early 30s. So he's got time to continue as well.
And really quickly, you talk about breakout moments for certain superstars. This could be his breakout moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of someone who's breaking out, at least for me anyways, Nia Jax comes out and she doesn't think that beating Becky Lynch is all that shocking. And she's talking about how she can do whatever she wants and beat whoever she wants when Rhea Bloody Ripley comes out. And I pop pretty big for her music. And she says, quit acting like you run the place. And then Jax says she's winning the Rumble and she's coming for Ripley later. She actually got some heat from Judgment Day for picking a fight with Ripley. Justin, I've never seen anyone, at least in the past year or so, talk down to Rhea Ripley the way Nia Jax was able to. Is she truly a new Nia Jax in what we've seen in the past incarnations?
Especially that win again against Becky last week felt like she's got a new kind of set of life to her. You know, I like this. I said it last week that I could see Rhea again. I feel like she's still in a league of her own. That I said to you boys last week that I could believe her going into Mania as champion, coming out of Mania still as champion. Somewhere along the way, there's some kind of natural babyface turn. You know, and look, tonight the way the crowd popped for her, she's having a promo opposite Nia Jax, and Nia Jax arguably gets the most heat of any of the women. I don't know if this is a little foreshadowing to Mania. I don't know if it's foreshadowing to Elimination Chamber, because remember, Elimination Chamber is in Rhea's home country. So she is front and center in a lot of the marketing material. You got to have a good match for her. I don't know what they're going to do, but this was entertaining. But you just cannot deny that pop that Portland, Oregon gave Rhea Ripley. Like, things are happening. And it goes back to my earlier statement about the Judgment Day. You got people like Rhea and people like Priest. You know, I mean, Rhea's the champion, but you know big things are happening there. But then you got another, then you got the rear of Judgment Day. Then it's like, what is going on over here?
Jimmy, this was, we talk about star power and things. I always say how you feel about certain things is what it really is. And Nia Jax, as soon as Rhea Ripley's music hit, I had that here we go kind of feeling to me. I was so excited to watch these two stare each other down. And they've done such a good job of building Nia Jax up to be ready for this moment instead of just coming back and facing Rhea Ripley. This feels like such a big moment. And even in the chat, MDB is saying, finally, some Nia Jax love from Jack. Baby Ice saying, Nia stands unite. This was low key promo of the night. And Reaper Brink saying, Rhea had some great facial expressions. Talk to me about really how well they've gotten Nia Jax ready for this moment. But also, I want to talk about something I saw on Twitter a lot was, when is Rhea Ripley going to turn face, everyone's saying. And I always say, the person you're cheering for is the face. It doesn't matter what they say. And everyone seems to love Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's a face. Can we just deal with it?
Yeah, especially when these two are in the ring together. Obviously, you heard them tonight. They were cheering for Rhea. And as far as Nia Jax goes, she's just got a different presence to her this time around. You can feel something different about her. She feels like a real threat. Like, at any moment, you know, like we talk about sometimes where someone's in a match and they go, well, I can't see so-and-so beating so-and-so. When Nia's in a match now against whoever she's in the ring with, especially after beating Becky, now you're thinking, you know what? Maybe she, you know, maybe she will beat Rhea. Maybe she can beat so-and-so. You know, it's a different feeling now when Rhea is in the ring, and that's what you want from here. And she's, and now we can see that she can handle herself on the mic as well, which is a very important part of the complete package. And she's done that as well too. So this different Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley, you can go so many different directions with this leading into WrestleMania. Maybe this match happens before Mania. Like you said, Justin, Australia could be a nice venue to showcase this match for both ladies. And it could be very interesting going forward. But I like the new... I don't know if new Nia Jax is the right word for it, but I like this current version of her. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, this is, I think, maybe promo of the night for me, not video package of the night. We'll talk about that in a second, but definitely my, I think promo of the night. I think this was fantastic. But we continue on. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven versus Caden Carter and Katana Chance. With the whole locker room watching on, Carter and Chance defeat the former champs and retain the titles. Jimmy, I want to go back to you. Carter and Chance, you've seen a lot of tag teams in your time. To me, they feel like that something that the women's tag team division really needs, and that they are like the perfect, like, real tag team that isn't two people who came together. This feels like one of those tag teams that is like the backbone of a real tag team division, you know, like the Hardy Boys back in the day, where when they first debuted, you didn't think of them as individuals. You thought of them as a team.
Right.
They kind of feel like that for the women's tag team division. It feels like that's something they really need.
Yeah, they definitely do. And the other thing they need is for people to get invested in having the other women and all the other women in the locker room watching on the monitor and watching this match with interest made the match feel that much more important. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main things. It's a little thing that wasn't even in the match, but made the match feel that much more important. And that helps as well. But to your point about them feeling like a team together, I was going to say Edge and.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Christian, you know, yeah, it's another one. You know, people say, yeah, but it's only because, you know, they have the matching outfit, the matching, tights and stuff like that. No. They, like you said, they feel like a real team, mm-hmm. and like they belong together. Again, once their time comes to go their separate paths, there's the challenge of re-getting over.
Right.
I don't even know if that's a term anymore, but anyway. But right now, they feel like an authentic tag team. And like you said, the way you described it.
Yeah. And Justin, of course, in the chat, we got Brother Hero saying, LaBar, glad I popped in. Continue to say subscribing again. So you get to check one on your column for this one, LaBar. But let me know about your thoughts on this matchup. But also, what do you think is next for Piper and Chelsea?
It was a fun match. Good on WWE for consistently putting them out there, whether it's in the ring or last week it was the club vignette. I definitely felt like, and this Portland crowd was overall up tonight, so maybe, grading on a curve here of them being a hot crowd. But I felt like that the Cardinal Chance got cheers quicker than in previous weeks. And previous weeks, it's been, by the time the match has been over, people have been cheering for them, and they've got the people up, especially with the creative offense they have. But I feel like it's took people a little more time. I think they are starting to grow on people, and that consistency on TV is a huge part of the recipe to make that happen. So, good there. And man, in terms of the next women's tag team, I don't know. I mean, we saw that backstage locker room. I mean, there's different options. I mean, there was at least four different pairs of ladies. I don't know if any of the four of them, present out the gate as like real interesting heel challengers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't have an answer for that. I have to see how they're going to see how this runs its course. Because again, with a card like Rumble, it's very possible that the women's tags aren't even a defended or, a thing. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say what women's tag situation is when you're 2 weeks out of Rumble. That could have been the last women's tag title match we saw on TV until after the Rumble. That's very plausible.
Right.
And Loud Marlins fan says, here for Justin LaBar. So
you.
You know, the women's tag team division had a bunch of people watching the screen for that match, mm-hmm. but I think LaBar's got a bunch of people all together here watching him for this show.
I'm trying to no sell my cold that I'm dealing with. So I'm happy that people are listening. I got every gimmick known to man. I got tea, I got cough drop, I got water, I got alcohol. I'm everything. I'm just like trying to figure out what the right recipe is here.
Just mix it into a big bowl for a nice
there
soup.
There you go. Exactly. There you go.
Re-cola.
Also, Bernie DC, by the way, saying, good they used the keg stand for the finish tonight. By the way, it shows they can use both double team moves to win matches, keg stand and after party. I like that keg stand move. I think that is such a cool, clean, beautiful looking finish. I would love for them to keep that up as well. I want to talk about my favorite part of the night, and I hope it's your guys' favorite part of the night too. And if anyone in the chat disagrees with me, you're wrong. I don't care. We saw a video package from R-Truth that, dare I say, officially surpasses the My Way WrestleMania hype video as the greatest WWE video ever put together. And R-Truth telling us his long journey to becoming a member of Judgment Day and being friends with guys like Tom and Nick. Jimmy, tell me a bit about it. I loved it. I don't know what else to add. This was I was giggling the whole time.
What is there to add? He is so entertaining, and that's what this is about. It's about entertainment. And I know... I agree with you. If anybody didn't like this segment, then they are not true wrestling fans. R-Truth is a hidden gem. And we talk about believability when it comes to people showing how tough they are and when they're cutting promos and stuff like that. When R-Truth does these video packages, when he was telling the story about being born and telling the doctor and all, you almost felt like... he believes it. He believes what he's saying. You know what I mean? And it was so much fun. And that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be fun. There are moments where you want to go, oh, and ah, and cheer. But there are also moments you just want to sit back and go, that was just tremendous. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah, Justin, they always say comedy is zigging when everyone thinks you're going to zag. I don't know if R-Truth zigged or zagged. He was doing something completely different. But the whole time, I was laughing. And even afterwards, when Damian Priest is trying to talk, even he can't keep a straight face afterwards. It was, I don't care what R-Truth does with the rest of his time. But I think even after he's done and retired, I want him to do videos like this just for shows, like of previewing, like whatever, like Money in the Bank previews or something. I don't know. This was so great to me. This was hilarious.
Well, first off, to your original comment, I was fortunate to be amongst the 67,000 in the Astrodome when that My Way video was playing before Rock and Austin. So that cracks me up that you would say that. It's a hilarious video. Aside from what Truth is saying, the photoshopping was just tremendous. All the photoshopping, huge, you know, it was great. And then you're right. When they came out of it and they went to backstage, I don't know, but that really did feel like Priest might have actually saw that for the first time and was trying to keep laughter in it. If that, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I don't know, but it certainly felt like it, which if that's the case, it made it all the funnier. It's that special little thing of like when you watch SNL, mm-hmm. and somebody can't stop, you know, it's unprofessional, and it's like you're breaking like the first rule of improv. You're supposed to stay in character, which Truth does. He stays in character, but it's also there's an enjoyment to the audience when you see a performer start to crack.
He was so good tonight because one of the biggest things was back in the day, not on camera but off camera, you know, post match and at house shows, was trying to get Taker to break.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the biggest challenges in the world. If Taker was out there tonight during this whole thing, I believe even he would have had a problem keeping a straight face.
It was just so funny. And as Trail says, R-Truth has solidified his Hall of Fame slot, all-time comedy. This was so... I don't like... As we had in the chat here, Dark Money Zone said the quote, "As I looked into my doctor's eyes on the day he was born and said he wanted to be in charge."
He's rocking the cradle.
Yeah.
The whole thing, and the videos of them, like, in the family portraits together and stuff, and him just being cut in.
After that segment and after that video, all I want to do is live, laugh, and love.
As we always say in the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, and love. It is your Judgment Day. That's like a sketchy life insurance company's
right.
quote.
Oh, this is just a beautiful thing. Anyways, if you didn't see it, go back and see it. If you did see it, go back and watch it again. Treat yourself. Sure. That leads us to J.D. McDonagh versus The Miz right afterwards. Kind of a similar formula to what we've seen in previous matches. Good wrestling sprinkled in with comedy moments. Miz picks up the dub. Justin, we'll start with you. We're laughing about R-Truth in all this, and he was funny in this match as well. Mm-hmm. Is Miz getting a little overshadowed by R-Truth in all this?
I think the focus is definitely on R-Truth out there. You know, personally, after The Miz finished off stuff with Gunther, I didn't know if he was going to remain face. I was very vocal on this podcast that, you know, The Miz's fastball is his ability to be heel 24/7 and carry that Miz character nonstop. So I don't like taking his fastball away. Now, I did stand corrected to say that he did some very good work, especially in the promo leading up to the match with he and Gunther, as Gunther was kind of, you know, demeaning him, despite Miz being 20 years his career elder. But The Miz coming out here is being babyface. I kind of look at it as filler. It's temporary. It's only a matter of time before the piece of crap Miz low blows somebody, cheats somebody, takes the shorthand road. That's just what The Miz does. So, he's being overshadowed. R-Truth's the focus out here.
Yeah, Jimmy, I actually had that as my next question. You know, Justin said previously on this show that Miz was his fastball is being the bad guy. And when Miz won the match, he was standing with his arm over R-Truth's shoulders. I couldn't help but think, I got a feeling that it's going to be R-Truth that takes the low blow at the end of this. Is Miz's days a good guy number? Was Justin right? Does he need his, is he going to get his fastball back?
I think he's going to get his fastball back. Look, everybody's enjoying this moment, and whether you're expecting it or not is not the point here. It is, who is he going to hit the fastball with? Like, you know what I mean? And I like the idea of R-Truth, you know, Awesome Truth getting back together. It looks like here we're going to have some fun, have him challenge for the championship. And you know what? Have Miz just, like you say, low blow him and just, I can't take this nice guy routine anymore. This isn't me, whatever the case is, you know, but I could see it happening. And, or even the fact that, like you said, R-Truth overshadowing the Miz, that being the reason for him turning on him.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, you know what? I'm the star here. And you think you're going to outdo me? Not happening, man. You know?
Well, Jimmy, I'm going to give you the pen in this case. It's going in ink. You got to pick a team to challenge. I'm going to give you two tag teams. Okay. One of them gets to challenge for the titles and win them. The other team never gets a shot against the champions. The teams that you're choosing between getting a shot for the titles are Awesome Truth or DIY.
Getting the shots for
getting
the
a shot, get a shot at the title. The other team will never get a shot at the title, or at least until Judgment Day is done and out of this picture.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a tough one. It's almost like I want it to be DIY because I want them to be elevated and be that next team to get to that spot. But at the same time, I think a better story can be told with Awesome Truth getting that opportunity and having that moment happen that I described.
It's DIY because the Miz and R-Truth by themselves were already Hall of Famers. Champ and Gargano need some boost in their career. So tag title
fair
possibilities.
Point. Yeah. Well, the chat says DIY. So, but any chance I get R-Truth on the screen, I'm going to take it. So I want to see more of that.
Do people even remember that wasn't even his first WWE moniker? It wasn't even What's Up wasn't even his first song. His first run in WWE was as K-Quick, and the song was Get Rowdy.
Get Rowdy up.
And then left, went to TNA, and then he came back as R-Truth with What's Up.
I mean, Jim Johnson has some bangers, but R-Truth, K-Quick, I mean, there's two bangers right there for you. Seth Frickin' Rollins comes out, and he wants to know who's going to face him at WrestleMania for the title. And Jinder Mahal comes out, says he's sick of being overlooked. Rollins says, do something about it. And Jinder waits for Rollins to turn his back before flattening him. Justin, I love that Seth Rollins is like, hey, who, like, everyone's talking about Roman, but what about me? Who wants my title? I like this this approach. And I like that Jinder feels like a perfect kind of guy in Telmania. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, shout out to the office and creative for, you know, if you felt Jinder was worthy to troll everybody last week before The Rock interrupts him, it's good on you to at least give him a return the following week and let him, you know, get the upper hand physically for a moment on Seth Rollins. You know, I mean, Jinder's a talent that's been there for a long time. He's got a great look. He really does. You know, some of what might have hindered Jinder is because for a long time there, WWE did have an unfortunate block of how they would book international stars, especially if you looked a certain way or had a certain name. There was just a stereotype of you're going to be this, and you know, and so good on Jinder to get, you know, he's going to have a match, you know, in the match. I mean, the match against he and Seth have a match at Rumble. It's just going to be there. You just hope Jinder gets to make the most of his minutes. You hope that nobody gets hurt, because no, I don't think anybody in the world believes Seth is dropping at Rumble, especially given what it seems like is lining up. My question out of all this too is, Indashir, we've gotten three or four attempts with Indashir. Is that done?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because Jinder could have came out last week with Indashir. He could have came out tonight. And that could even made the story even more, oh my God, you know, he's got this entourage, he's got this group, it's strength in numbers. But he doesn't, and they're both big men, but he hasn't had them either week. So are we once again going back to the drawing board on Indashir?
It does feel like they have been set aside. Let me double back on that. If they were to say, Justin, that let's say during the match with Seth Rollins, they come out and try to help him or whatever, are you cool with that? Or is it like, okay, we're re-debuting them a third time? Does that make sense?
At this point, I mean, I don't know. At this point, it'd be weird if they show up. If anything, they should have shown up tonight, or yeah, at least tonight with Jinder. I don't know. Like, it would be weird if they all of a sudden pop up a Rumble.
No, but to that point, sorry to cut in here, but maybe it's a way for people to, like you said, forget about them, so that when they do show up during the during the title match, people go, "Oh yeah, that's right. We forgot about these guys. Oh my goodness, are they going to help him?" And then make it look like at least there's an opportunity for a title change. That's not going to happen.
That would make Seth that would make Seth's win seem more impressive to that point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I like the point you made, Justin. I like that you're right. He was kind of the butt of the joke against The Rock. So it's kind of like, it's cool that he's getting something for doing that. Cause like I said last week, that's gotta be rough to be like, hey, you're going to let everybody down when you come out, you're going to get buried by one of the best and then get beat up afterwards.
Well, and again, he's been a company guy. He's been around for over a decade. Jinder has. And oh, by the way, he stood face to face with The Rock. The Rock is no small man. And Jinder's no small man either. So, like, I'm big on the airport test. Jinder passes that. Like, you ain't going to miss him coming through a crowd.
No.
Right. So, I mean, like, you know, it's not like they sent out somebody who was, you know, a foot smaller than The Rock and just meant to be, you know, a diminutive troll. I mean, this is somebody who was out there trying to preach a certain righteousness from his point of view. So, yeah, it is kind of like a nice little, all right, let's give him something.
Mm-hmm. We move on to Otis versus Ivar, and this was set up because Ivar was basically picking on Akira, and it's another big man, hard-hitting contest with Ivar getting the win and then shoving Akira afterwards, calling him a little man. Jimmy, is Akira Tozawa going to have to rough Ivar up?
It sounds like it, because he kept yelling at him, I'm next. But man, what you talk about two. What's the terminology we use? Two big meaty men,
big slapping meaty men, slapping meat. Meat.
But that springboard attempt at a splash, or where Otis caught Ivar.
Yeah,
I can't forget that. That's one you talk about moments that stick in your mind. That one sticks in mind because I can't believe he held him up.
Yeah. I mean,
that was absolutely incredible.
Justin, I want you to imagine yourself, you know, you're at one of these shows and you're listening to these wrestlers talk and someone says, hey, so yeah, Ivar is going to jump off the rope and you're going to catch him.
Yeah.
like, and not be like, nah, it's probably not going to happen, but be like, okay, I'll do that.
No, that spot, he called him and then shifted his weight forward to give him the, you know, world's strongest slam type of thing. Right. And I mean, no, they've been on a, they've got some kind of weird run on Raw between Ivar and Otis and Bronson Reed, of just big men who move and do things that big men their size shouldn't do. I don't know when Eric, Ivar's tag team partner, I don't know when Eric is going to be back. Like, I don't know what the timeline is, but I mean, Ivar has, I mean, he's obviously staked his case and has been now here for now months at this point. It's hard to believe because we talk about it every week, but it's been months. He staked his case to the point of where it's like, all right, well, like we can do the whole size thing a bunch of weeks, him versus another big man, him versus a small guy like Tozawa, whatever. Like, at some point, like, when do we start thinking about, like, doing something more? Like, you know, again, Guthrie's a heel, so it doesn't really work there, but I don't know, but, like, I mean, everything except for Ivar's speaking voice is there. The visual's there. The in-ring work's there. Valhalla is an accessory. Ivar just doesn't sound like what I think Ivar should sound like. Otherwise, I mean, they got something in this guy. He's making the most of his singles run.
Right. Sorry to cut you off there, Jack. But, and again, you talk about these guys are doing moves in the ring that guys their size shouldn't be doing. And it's not like they're going out and just one after the other. they're placing them in the right place. Like even in the finish where that moonsault off the top by Ivar looks so impressive, but it's not like he did 15 other, I have to say it at least once a week, a twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splash every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, obviously the IC titles caught up in something a little bit bigger right now, but I could see Otis maybe becoming a US champion down the road. And I know that's a different show, but it's not hard for them to move someone to a different brand if they need to. We get Jey Uso cutting a promo, and speaking of big men, Bronson Reed shows up. Jey says he wants to win a championship this year. Bronson says, so does he. Justin, do you think they're going to go for the same championship, or will they both be champions like the two-man power trip?
Can they coexist? we'll see. Was it just me? Was Uso's shirt, was it blurred, or is that the design?
That's the design. It has to be.
Okay.
I heard there was like an issue with the copyright of Yeet.
For like a week, there was. A couple weeks ago, back in December, I think there was. There was like some inquiry came from somebody else who claimed to have owned it. So all of a sudden, you heard like no mention of it on TV for like a week. And then whatever happened, something, WWE got past the legality. They were in the clear to use it, which I knew. I'm looking at them tonight. I'm like, I cut the cord, so I'm on internet. I'm like, is my internet getting pixelated? Is this shirt blurry? What's going on here?
It's funny because sometimes in WWE and even in when you come to the marketing department, you make a joke when something like that happened, like you said, where there was an issue with the terminology of Yeet, and then for a week we didn't get it, and then we got it back. They got it back. We're assuming, of course, because we don't know what the legality is here. Somebody probably made a joke about, oh, you should just make your shirt and have it blurred out, and ha ha ha. Guess what? You know.
I'm sure they're making tons of money on it, but I like the idea of Jey Uso versus Bronson Reed. We'll see how that one plays out. We get to,
and the winner gets a shot at Gunther, and maybe you talk about finally defeating Gunther. Jey Uso, is his game has been elevated. He's up there. He could be the next IC champ that elevates that title.
And in his promo, he's a babyface. He said a goal in 2024 is to get a singles title.
Yes.
And like wrestling 101 is a babyface doesn't say they're going to do something like that and not do it. So that would be
correct the mundo.
Chad Gable maybe needs to get that memo, but Jey Uso, I think that'd be, he checks all the boxes. I'd be happy to see it happen. And I think a win over Bronson Reed, if that's what's next, is the kind of win that sets up a match against a guy like Gunther. Cody Rhodes faces Shinsuke Nakamura in a street fight because they got into a fight in the backstage area already. So why not make it a street fight? And the story of this fight is Cody Rhodes is struggling because he cares about the timekeeper who got misted in the face. Tons of fun moments. Cody gets the win. Jimmy, I'll give you this one to start off. Thoughts on the match, and is this one over?
Hopefully it's over. I think we're, again, they even alluded to it themselves that, hey, I thought this was over. And I like the fact that they said, this is going to be our main event tonight. And when you were saying, oh, we're going to get them two again. And they had their little issue earlier where they got into the brawl in the back and Adam Pearce, that's one good thing about having an on-screen authority figure who said, yeah, now it's going to be a street fight, adding that stipulation during the show actually helped people probably go, oh, maybe I will tune into this match instead of saying, oh, we're having this match as the main event. Maybe I'll tune out. Well, you're hoping anyways, at least.
Right.
And the match itself, I thought it was fine. Again, they took their time to place certain things like the introducing objects like the kendo stick and the nunchucks and, people were chanting for table. We want tables. They took their time, but they finally got there and gave them what they wanted to. So I thought the match was fine. And hopefully, like you said, we could move on from these two because except for Berkeley, now we're going to get Berkeley, the timekeeper versus
Berkeley is Cody's real life cousin.
Oh, how dare Shinsuke do that then? But Justin, it is a fun fact. Has he always been, or is that just for tonight?
No, he is. Berkeley Ottman, the guy who got the time people got the miss. He's the son of Fred Ottman, who was known as Typhoon or Shockmaster. Fred Ottman married Cody's mother's sister, so Cody's aunt. So Cody and Berkeley are cousins.
Cousins.
There is more than one royal family. Absolutely. Justin, so your thoughts on this one? I thought the match was fun. I thought it was great. I kind of hoping it's over, but Cody Rhodes' path seems pretty obvious, but Shinsuke has taken some pretty high level losses. What do we do with him?
Yeah, both guys worked their ass off of the match, so I don't want to discredit that. It was an entertaining match to watch. I love the anime graphics for the build up. Everything was done with great intent and great effort. But I went into this match going, Cody's not losing this. Nor should he necessarily, because he's on the path that he is. I just my wrote down Shinsuke to no fault of his own, because they kind of found a nice lane with his presentation that we've talked about with these subtitles and these the way they produce his vignettes. I think he has to go away and disappear for a little bit of time. He either needs to go away for a little bit of time or switch brands, or we've seen them obviously have a lot more crossover with NXT. Maybe let him go down to NXT and get some dubs down there. And take his promo style and his vignettes and his intensity that he has shown in the last 4 months on Raw, take NXT and dominate with a winning streak, maybe even acquire a title. I don't know. He needs to get off of Raw, though, because between the losses to Cody, the several times coming up short on Seth, challenging Seth early in the fall, he's not going to go challenge Gunther. He doesn't have a tag team partner. There's nothing for him. He's not going to win the Rumble. There is nothing for him to do on Monday Night Raw. I don't know if there's anything for him to do on SmackDown. But that's why I say either let him go home and just take a little bit of time off, or go to NXT, because nothing more could be done right now on Monday Night Raw for him. There needs to be a reset.
Yeah, I agree. Because even if you kind of give him someone that may be easier to get a win over, now it's just going to feel like he's punching below his weight class. If he fights, let's say Ricochet returns and he beats Ricochet, it's like, yeah, but you're trying to be up there with Cody and Seth. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm not going to buy him, if he tries to pick a fight with anyone else now. It's a tough spot for him. Jimmy, any thoughts on what's next for Shinsuke? Because again, Cody's past seems like it's just fine here.
Right. Yeah, I don't see a problem with Cody's path. Shinsuke, again, like you guys said, this is the more difficult situation now, because like you said, Justin, excuse me, that this presentation of him as we're seeing him on screen with the subtitles, looking evil, having that menacing demeanor about him, I love that presentation. I think it's great, and it's different from everybody else's. Mm-hmm. It's unique. But where does he go from here? Do you shift him over to SmackDown? Where does he fit into that scenario? Will people look at him going down to NXT where he could have some great matches against some up and coming young talent? But the goal there is to elevate the young talent. If you're bringing someone down from the main roster and make them look good. He's in a tough spot here. I don't know. There's rumors of a potential working relationship with WWE and maybe some Japanese promotions. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe they could lend him out back to Japan and let him regain his fire, so to speak. Kind of like Drew left and came back. Punk left and came back. Maybe Shinsuke can leave and come back and have some fire.
I think the big thing here, Stephen Camp in the chat saying what we're all thinking, but just didn't have the guts to say. Stephen Camp says wrestlers in street fights should be wearing jeans and a shirt, not wrestling gear. Stephen Camp, I agree with you 100%. And taped up fists. But
my buddy and renowned Pittsburgh Penguins beat reporter Rob Rossi was texting me the night. He's like, the hill I'm going to die on. pro wrestling street fights should happen in the street. Go out there, put some pads down, put some ropes, put some, you know, put some branding decoration. He goes, have it out in the street. He goes, you know, he's adamant to that.
I like that too. I agree with that. It's not street. Put it in the street. Didn't Al Snow beat was it Hardcore Holly, like in a river or something, or a lake somewhere? I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember where it was, but that was a hardcore. Back in my day, that was a hardcore.
Oh my goodness!
Did you ever see WCW do the what was the damn match with the they were on the tractor trailer bed, the two of them.
Yeah.
It was.
Was that was Dustin Rhodes in that, or it was
Yeah, it might have been him. It was, oh god, was it a Bunkhouse Brawl match? Is that what
the Bunkhouse Stampede? Is that what Blue Chew threw out here?
Some in the chat. There's two. I could see. It's like I want to say Broad Street Bully, but I know we were talking hockey earlier. I don't know if that's the name of it. But I could see the poor ass WCW production following this flatbed truck as these two guys are having a damn match.
Well, it can't be any worse than a gravy bowl match. Let's put it that way.
That's what I want, a gravy bowl champion.
I've reffed one of those and also took a dunk in one, so no thanks.
Was the gravy good?
But Jimmy, weren't you those type of matches? I mean, you're rolling around with pretty ladies and
no
great.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. No, I wasn't rolling around with
tough day in the office there, pal.
The ladies were in the gravy. I was on the outside, dry until after the finish, and of course I got shoved into the gravy. And
it is my great hope that whoever uploads this video changes the title to Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw coverage, quote, the ladies were in the gravy, end quote. that's how we should end it. But I think that's it for us. Before we go, of course, everyone in the chat, let me know your thoughts on the show. And if you're watching this later on YouTube, leave a comment with your favorite quote from the R-Truth, video.
Bernie has it, by the way. Blacktop Bully, Barry Darso, previously nobody against Dustin Rhodes. There we go.
That's right. Yeah. So Dustin Rhodes wasn't. That's perfect. Okay. So, Justin, overall thoughts of the show, and where can the world find you online?
It was an okay show. It was not a great show. It was an okay show. They're up against the college football national championship, so I'm sure they're kind of monitoring what they do there. You know, you're not gonna throw out you're not gonna throw out the Rock again tonight. It was an okay show. We certainly have direction and roads to Rumble with Cody Rhodes, with CM Punk and the Drew McIntyre stuff that we talked about. So I thought it was just fine. You're a couple weeks out from Rumble. Rumble's a weird show to build to because, the majority of the rosters all in the same storyline. They're all gunning to win the Rumble. There are sub-storylines like Kaiser and Kofi, which they did a good job with, like Punk and Drew, maybe like Ivar and Tozawa. So there's some sub-stories, which good on them to do. But, you know, I'm not expecting too much more. It's kind of just let's get everybody healthy and energized to Rumble, and then it's all hands on deck because that is the official start of the Road to Mania.
It's one more Raw before Rumble, right?
Two more.
All right. Well, I actually like this one. I thought it was a fun episode. Everything felt like it was there for a reason. I mean, maybe not the biggest, not as quite as big newsworthy as The Rock showing up, but I thought it was a fun episode where I didn't feel like they wasted my time at any point. But Jimmy, overall thoughts on the show, and where can we find you online?
No, it was fine. Like just like you both said, actually, it was fine. And like you said, Justin, sub stories going into the Rumble, not just the Rumble match itself. Everything felt like it meant something as opposed to just matches put together to put matches together. So things made sense, at least anyways. And as far as where you can find me, obviously here on Monday nights with Triple J, which we have a blast doing. And then on Wednesday nights, it's myself, Justin, and Issa, looking at the AEW Dynamite show, and then of course the Reffin' It Up podcast with myself and my good brother in Stripes, Brian Hebner, with RJ holding the glue together. Last week we had our Stripes Awards for 2023, first time ever we did that, which we had a lot of fun with, and a lot of people, some people agreed, some people disagreed, and that's what you get. And this week we're going to have EC3.
Oh,
so it'll be an interesting chat with him. And of course, online doing my ref and rants on all my social media platforms from Monday to Friday. So far this year, I'm doing well at keeping it positive. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that trend can continue for a little while, but eventually, you know, it's going to go there.
EC3, NWA champion, EC3. Yes. So that'll be a good interview. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And if you're following me, or if you're in Los Angeles or the Southern California area, I'm going to be ring announcing for PCW Ultra on Friday. It's their 8th anniversary show, so it should be a really fun one. Or you can check it out on remix.tv. That's WREMIX.TV. Where you can see it there streaming as well, along with a lot of other wrestling shows and stuff. So that's a cool spot. I want to thank everyone for joining us all the way to the end. MDB999, Bernie DC, Adam Staples, Killer of Demons, Max Feldman, Jeff Bailey, Stephen Camp, and everyone else. Appreciate you all. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the NXT After Show right here. Until then, ladies and
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.